This episode of The Apartment Guys is being brought to you by Greenlight Equity Group. Greenlight Equity Group acquires and operates cash-flowing multifamily assets in progressive metropolitan markets such as Salt Lake City, Idaho, San Antonio, Oklahoma City, and Columbus, Ohio. Greenlight targets consistent solid returns for its investors and a healthy environment for residents by operating high-quality, safe, clean, affordable apartment communities. To learn more about Greenlight and to sign up for the investor list, go to www.glequitygroup.com.
Welcome to The Apartment Guys, where we dive deep into all things multifamily investing. Our mission is to educate, inspire, and empower real estate investors to reach their highest potential. Each week, host Tate Seymour interviews high-level guests from all over the industry who are sure to bring valuable, actionable ideas that will propel your career to the next level. Whether you're just starting out or a seasoned investor, you are in the right place. And now your host, the apartment guy, Tate Seymour.
Welcome, everybody, back to another episode of the Apartment Guys podcast. Got a good one today. Mr. George Abreu of Elevate Commercial Investment Group is in the house. George is just crushing it in the apartment investing space right now with ownership in over 3,000 doors, both GP and LP side. He has a goal to reach 10,000 doors by the end of next year. So he's adding 7,000 doors in 12 months to his portfolio. We discuss the proper due diligence that it takes to do business in a pandemic environment right now. We discuss why collections are going well for George right now, actually, surprisingly, or I guess maybe a little counterintuitive to what you might think might be happening in the market. We discuss activities that you can do inside of your business that really move the needle. That's a fantastic discussion. And then at the end, you'll really want to check out what George is doing to give back to both first responders and veterans. It is awesome what he's doing for them to get them involved in business and getting them into apartment building investing, really, which is such a gift. So without further ado, I hope you enjoy this episode with Mr. George Abreu. You know, one of the goals of the podcast is to obviously provide a tremendous amount of value and bringing you high level guests that have been where we're all trying to be and all trying to get to, which is owning lots and lots of doors and having a lot of business going on and making a high level impact on the multifamily scene. And today I think I have delivered on that promise. I have brought a wonderful industry expert and high level entrepreneur. Mr. George Abreu is here with us today. George, thank you so much for being here. Super grateful.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. So a little bit about George, the owner on the GP side. He has 1,720 doors under management, and on the LP side has 1,400 plus doors. So if I can do math well, I think that's about 3,120 doors. and is the CEO of Elevate Commercial Investment Group, and you can find them at, I'll mention this again, but www.elevatecig.com, and also owns a construction company, JNT Construction, that focuses on helping multifamily investors with their renovations. And George is based out of Dallas and owns property in Texas and Oklahoma and is looking at other opportunities as well outside of those markets. George is known for locating deals, doing due diligence, executing on capital expenditure improvements, and raising equities. He's got a goal to reach 10,000 doors by the end of next year by creating strategic partnerships and implementing the proper systems in place for scalability. So George is continually growing. Obviously, you're looking, George, to hit an incredible pace of acquisition here in the next 12 months. Man, let's just start right there. That's really an inspiring vision.
Yeah, we've got quite a bit in the pipeline too. It's been, 2020 has been crazy. Everybody knows that, but it seems like this last quarter we're trying to make up for it.
Cool. So you're a family man. You've got a wonderful wife and three amazing daughters. I'm curious, before we really jump into the kind of the nuts and bolts and talking about specifically value add today, tell us a little bit about kind of the man behind the bio, George. What do you like to do for fun, and what's important to you? What's an important part of your background, maybe too?
Yeah, so background wise, I was born and raised in South Florida. Both my parents are Cuban. They came over in their when they were teenagers to Miami from Cuba. Very family oriented. I was raised that way, and that's kind of transferred over. Everything I do is for my family. Any free time I have is pretty much spent with my family. I still have a couple friends and get to spend some time with them. Outside of family and work, I love sports. I like to play basketball and watch football.
Cool. Yeah, you look like you'd be pretty wicked on the basketball court. You're a big dude, and I'm sure you get it done.
Can
That's
hold my
fun.
own. Yeah.
That's fun. So, in addition to all the success that you've had in your company, you're a frequent podcast guest and you're a speaker at lots of events. And you're really known for being an expert in the due diligence area and in the value add space in particular. And so I thought that we could just kind of start with due diligence and talk a little bit about what. In particular, let's just talk about like kind of some current events and how due diligence has maybe shifted for you a little bit in the last 6 months, given COVID and the changing investing climate within the multifamily space.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's one, I think it's always been very important to take the time to do your due diligence, do it very detailed and thorough. But even more now, with COVID and where the market is most likely going or is, you want to make sure your numbers make sense and you don't miss anything. Before, the past couple of years, you could have probably missed a couple things, and the fact that the market was booming kind of hid that and made up for it. That's probably not going to be the case for the next few years, at least. I kind of hesitate saying that just because the market is still hot, and it's there haven't been any price decreases or anything like that, but I still think you need to be planning for that. So yeah, I mean, taking the time during your due diligence to one, the physical due diligence part, which is, the one that I have a ton of experience in. And then also on the lease audit and collections, and definitely want to know where your collections is really at right now. Somebody could be telling you, yeah, we're 98% occupied, but of that 98%, how many are paying? That's a little more important.
Are you asking to see evidence of collections, bank statements, that sort of thing?
Absolutely. Yeah, we want proof for sure. And then yeah, on the physical due diligence part, it's you got to know what you're buying. So you've got to either have someone on your team that's got the experience and is really going to dig into it, or hire a professional that's going to come in and take a look at every major item and give you a really good idea before your due diligence period ends of what it's going to cost you as far as deferred maintenance. And me personally, I like knowing the upgrades too, to down to the T, what it's going to cost. I see a lot of investors that don't pay too much attention to that during due diligence, but to me, that doesn't make sense. I mean, you want to know what your full CapEx budget's going to be.
What are you running into these days in terms of, well, I let's back up for a sec. So you're in Dallas and Remind me of the other market that you're currently in right now.
We're in several markets in, okay. in Texas and then Oklahoma.
Oklahoma,
and
then, right.
Yeah, we're closing on yeah. some in South Dakota now.
Yeah, yeah. So what in Oklahoma, I have an interest in Oklahoma City. We're looking there and really like that market. We don't currently own there yet, but how are collections doing? What are you seeing over the course of this, now that we've had some track record on this pandemic and whatnot?
Yeah, I mean, in our property, we're doing really well with collections in Oklahoma. We just had a few residents that lost their job in the beginning. We were able to get them some help, and they continue to make payments, and then they've got their jobs back. So, but it's one of those things. I mean, Oklahoma, as of yesterday, I think they didn't go to a shutdown, but they are shutting, I believe it's bars and restaurants at a certain time now, I think 11 o'clock or something like that. So there's still some unknowns, but for the most part, we've fared pretty good there.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. It'll be interesting to see how things go as we get into this winter. It seems like, obviously, at this point, we're recording this on November 17th. This will probably air in 3 weeks or so, but the things don't look great numbers wise with the virus and the pandemic and shutdowns and whatnot. And the effects on multifamily really are, you know, unknown as to how, I mean, all of us can guess and, but it's such a black swan event, this thing, and so unprecedented. It's really impossible to model with any sort of, I won't say confidence, because I think you can model with confidence if you're modeling conservatively in the right markets with the right asset, but it sure, you sure need to be conservative, you know, let's
yeah,
put it that way, because the unknowns are so abundant right now. And I know some people have just stopped underwriting completely. Some people have stopped buying completely. I think you and I are in the same camp in terms of keeping our foot on the gas with the right asset and the right market and the right submarket and everything else, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think multifamily as a sector in real estate has proven itself for sure. Not that it hadn't before, but it's even cemented that more now.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I'm still confident that we can find some deals out there, and it's really just being able to open things back up. I mean, I think once we do that and can do that safely, I don't see a lot of issues as far as the economy coming back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's excellent. Hopefully that it proves to be true. And I think one of the things that we're seeing in multifamily is through this crisis has been the continuation of compression of cap rates, and which is, I think, a lot of people, you know, has surprised a lot of people. And one of the factors behind that seems to be a lot of institutional money leaving retail, the retail sector, hotels, restaurants, et cetera, hospitality, and going to multifamily, because multifamily is such a universally needed asset, and particularly value add and, you know, the kind of the Class C space where my company swims is always in high demand. In a recession, or in particular in a recession, you get a compressed demand on Class C and Class B assets. So that's one of the things that we love about multifamily. And George, you know this better than me because you've been doing this longer and have done more of it than me, but it's just, it's over the course of time, it's, you know, you just, you can't beat it in that right. aspect, you know?
I mean, essentially if you've got a cash flowing asset and you've got good financing in place, I mean, you can pretty much weather any real estate cycle. You know, with the COVID being a little different with the way things were shut down, you know, that can right. kind of throw a wrench in that philosophy, but it hasn't. You know, I'm sure there's some individuals that have gotten themselves in really bad situations. I haven't seen many of those out there yet, but you know, if we go back to these shutdowns, and then I haven't heard anything about the stimulus for a while.
Right. Yeah.
So,
I know, right?
Yeah, if we go that route, you know, shutdowns and no stimulus, then it can get a little dicey.
Yeah. Hopefully we'll get that. We'll get a stimulus package soon again, you know, middle of November as we record. Lot yet to be determined. A lot of stuff up in the air right now.
Yeah.
So let's talk. We talked about due diligence. Let's talk about the value add model. And, you know, you've really mastered that model. Speak to what you think has made you number one, successful in the value add market and in the value add model. And you know, like what it is about it that you like compared to, say, a new build model or a development model or something like that.
I love the transformation, you know, taking a property that's just hasn't been well taken care of, has a bad reputation. A lot of the residents are there, but they're not happy, you know, taking that and then coming in and right off the bat, showing them that, hey, we're here to change this, to actually build a community. And I mean, the reaction you get from some of the residents is just, there's nothing like it, you know? And then looking at the images alone, you know, from before and after, and kind of when you walk the property, you know, thinking back when you first walked the property and then when you're walking it after the value add's been completed, I just love it. You know, you can't really do that with new development. You know, you're starting from scratch on new development, so you're not really transforming it. I like that too. Don't get me wrong. You know, I like putting a vision together, but yeah, something about the value add that I really, really gravitate towards. And we've just, throughout the years, we've been able to build our systems and procedures, and we know how to get in and out of these large CapEx projects.
Yeah. You mostly in-house your construction work. Is that correct?
Yeah. So when we take over a property, our property manager is going to focus on the property management side of it, you know, putting that business plan to work. And then our construction company comes in and takes care of the CapEx. They do work together hand in hand, especially with the interior unit upgrades. But we feel that taking that off their plate really lets them focus on what they're really there for.
Okay, so you've got third party management, but you've in-housed your rehab and most of your construction, it sounds like.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Awesome. And what are the advantages, and I guess disadvantages too, that you see to using an in-house model like that?
You know, advantages is kind of what I just mentioned, where the property manager really gets the time to focus on building that community feel, getting the leases, the marketing, work orders under control. So like we won't, you know, the construction company won't come in and do the work orders. That's maintenance team is to take care of that stuff. So we really let the residents know that there's new ownership. We're going to take care of you right off the bat. And then we start also bringing in the new potential residents, while in the background, the construction company is repainting the whole property, rebranding it, fixing up all the vacant units without the property manager having to even think about it. It's getting done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Disadvantage is, you know, the work order stuff, like I mentioned, we definitely don't handle that. So we've had some where the property manager kind of wants to rely on us on those things too. And we're kind of, you know, we got to let them know that's not good for us, because that distracts us. You know, we're looking at the big projects, focusing on those things.
Yeah. Yeah. So you basically have allowed, structurally set things up so that you allow people to focus on what they're good at and what they've specialized in, it sounds like.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm sure that creates a lot more ease in a lot of ways. Our model so far has been using our property managers to handle our remodels for the most part. Although we did a smaller project with a GC that we hired directly and oversaw directly. But there are, I can certainly speak to the disadvantages of that model. You know, there's advantages too. There's the fact that you don't have to go quite so vertical as a company and integrate different systems and processes and departments, but you give up an awful lot of control, and you give up an awful lot of, I guess control is the best word, where the project is, the success of the project is really in the hands of somebody else. And yep. So yep. You guys there's have eliminated.
Unfortunately, there's a lot of bad apples out there too. You know, I've heard yep. horror stories of just, you know, this is a friend of the on-site manager, so all the work goes to them, and some of the pricing that they're getting is just double market price and just things like that. You know, it's definitely end up spending more money.
Yeah. Yeah. So when you're looking around, you are in the industry a lot, you know, a ton of people, you're big on social media. And when you look around at the people that are killing it versus the people that are, you know, trying really hard but aren't killing it necessarily, what differences do you see? What qualities in the people that are really crushing it right now do you see?
Man, that's a good question. That's a good question. It's got me thinking.
Well, you can speak to it, you know, your own strengths, like your own superpowers, like what you think has made you as successful as you've been.
You know, I think you've got to be willing to do the hard work. You got to be willing to get up and go on a drop of a dime. You got to be willing to get uncomfortable on a daily basis. I think there's some that get a little comfortable and they think they're doing a lot, but they're not really focusing on the things that are going to move them forward and get them actual deals and those kind of things. Like at some point you've got to stop marketing and branding yourself, which I hate saying that because I'm all about marketing and branding yourself, but not stop, but you've got to be willing to do the other things too. The actual work that you're marketing and branding.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, absolutely. You got to have the deals going to be in this business at any level. And whether you're, you know, a podcaster or a thought leader or, you know, an aspiring investor, an intermediate investor, it's all about deals, you know, and really the things that you just kind of alluded to there, as far as activities that move the needle are things like talking to brokers, talking to property owners, talking to property managers, finding deals through them, just generally being in business and talking to other investors and letting people know what you're doing is so key. Those are all activities that move the needle. And then of course, once you have a deal, moving the deal along, getting it to the finish line, getting it to closing, getting your business plan implemented, that's all where rubber meets the road activity as well. So like you say, George, you can brand yourself all you want, but if you're not doing business and not doing deals, then it's kind of a futile effort, so to speak.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Another thing I would mention on that is just having a good team around you too is pretty crucial.
Yeah. Yeah. Speak a little bit to your team at Elevate. Talk about your different team members and how you guys have structured your company.
Yeah. So obviously you've got myself, I'm a bit of the visionary type. You know, I know where we want to be. I know as far as setting goals and what we need to do to get there and kind of leading the team. And then I've got my partner, Eric, who handles more of the day-to-day type operations. We've got John, who started off more on the acquisition side is what we originally brought him in for. And then he's kind of moved more into the raising equity And then we've got Carrie, who does a lot of our investor relations and also raising equity and helping with the marketing.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a full-time VA that also helps with our marketing. You know, I consider him part of the team. He's become a really good team member. And then that's it right now. We are working with a group as far as acquisitions. So really trying to get a good system and procedure in place. So we're working with some veterans and first responders that have more time on their hands and kind of training them and having them help us find these deals. And that's just happened in like the last month or so. And it's going well.
Oh, it's fantastic. What an amazing contribution that is to the lives of those people, your first responders and whatnot.
Yep.
Yeah. Provide them with that kind of opportunity. That's gold right there for the right person anyway, that they'll take it. Yep. And run with it. And that's exciting. Cool. So yeah, on your team, with your capital raisers, what systems do they have in place and what activities do they do that you guys have found to be the most fruitful, so to speak?
You know, getting on the phone and talking to investors and one-on-one meetings when, you know, there's not this many cases of COVID or when everybody feels comfortable, right. I think is the most productive actions for raising equity as well as networking events and stuff. But, you know, once again, obviously that's not that much of that right now, even though some of the Zoom meetups and stuff have been pretty good with the networking. Depends on the event. You know, if they're making it a priority for networking, then it's pretty good. We use a CRM, and that's kind of how we track all our leads, all our investors. And every single time we talk to them, email them, any notes, you know, everything goes in there. So we could tag them appropriately and follow up when we need to.
What CRM do you guys use?
ActiveCampaign.
Yeah, so do we. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It's we used to use PipeDrive and MailChimp. But it was just a mess because they didn't talk to each other, at least not smoothly. Once we brought those, you know, we eliminated those two and brought in ActiveCampaign, and it's awesome.
Cool. Yeah, we're just kind of getting our ActiveCampaign system up and running. So I'm glad to hear that you guys have had success with that.
Yeah, we've had some failure with the automations, but we're learning.
Yeah.
They can get a little tricky.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Well, so overall, like what would you say that what's one thing you know now about this whole game, the multifamily space, that you wish you had known when you'd first gotten started?
Oh gosh, something I wish I would have known when I first got started. You know, I don't
any obstacles you might advise yourself to avoid or anything like that?
You know, the first deal we bought was 37 units, and I wouldn't do that again. It's a good deal. It's just, it's a lot of work when you have that many units. So, I mean, everything we look at now is 100 plus units, unless it's close to another one of our properties. Just a lot more hands-on asset management when you have less than 80 units. So maybe that's one thing I would have told myself. And you know, putting systems and procedures have helped a lot, you know, for everything, not wasting so much time on looking at every deal that comes by my desk, you know, and kind of sticking with my criteria and just moving on, saying next if it doesn't fit that criteria.
Mm-hmm. Nice. A couple other questions, kind of starting to round things out here. What tools or techniques have you used to improve efficiency in your business life? And do you have daily routine type activity, anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, daily routines to improve my efficiency. I mean, I make sure I work out every morning for the most part. I mean, I might miss a day or two here and there, but that really, I feel that throughout the day when I do work out, I feel more efficient. I, as far as software, you know, I use a lot of different software that helps with efficiency. As far as we use Asana to manage our tasks, we use Slack to communicate between teams. I already talked about ActiveCampaign. We've got an investor portal. For the most part, they all speak to each other.
Is that Syndication Pro?
Syndication Pro.
Yeah, got it.
And then just having simple, you know, systems and procedures for when, like I talked about, evaluating the deals, you know, having a step by step and then following that every time.
Yeah, awesome. Well, listeners, you got to check out George's website. It's beautiful.
Thank you.
ElevateCIG.com. It's got tons of resources on it. It's got their latest investment offering. It's got some upcoming event information. It's got recent podcasts that George has been on. It's got a downloadable free ebook, which is really, really worth checking out. It's substantial and has a lot of great takeaways in it. And then all kinds of blog posts. I mean, you can get a master's degree just about on George's website. Lots and lots of resources. And is that the best way for people to find you and reach you as well?
It's definitely the best way to find like our resources and investment offerings and pretty much anything we've got going on. You know, if they want to contact me personally, I'm on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn. If they just search my name, they should find me. Or if they want to shoot me an email, they can feel free to do that as well. You know, it's George, George, at elevatecig.com. I've got a couple of checklists I can send to them. We're talking about due diligence. I've got a due diligence checklist and some other ones that I can go ahead and forward them.
I'm going to send you an email right now for that. So George@elevatecig.com, and George is spelled George. And yeah, reach out to George and he'll hook you up with some free multifamily swag, so to speak.
There you go.
Exactly. Well, George, this has been great. Are there any last parting words of wisdom that you might have for an aspiring investor that's kind of busting into the apartment scene right now?
Yeah, I mean, I would say don't get overwhelmed. You know, it's find where you can add value the most, whether it's boots on the ground, locating deals, raising equity, asset management. Pick one that you can add the most value to. And then if you bring that value to another group, you can most likely get into your first deal that way and then kind of build from there.
Again, we've talked about this on the podcast before about knowing your superpower, knowing what it is that produces the most value to a potential partner or mentor, somebody that you can learn from and or do business with and or partner with. That is really like the ticket right there. It's hands down the quickest way, the quickest ride to getting doors in your portfolio is to team up and bring what you do best to the team. So words of wisdom, George, that's good stuff.
Yeah, and I would just to continue that, I would say just be specific about what that is when you're coming to this individual or group. You know, myself, I get a lot of people reaching out to me, and the more specific somebody is and the more confident they are, the easier it is to kind of work with them versus somebody that's doesn't really just says, "Hey, I'll do whatever." That's not the same like, "Hey, I do this really well and I'm willing to do it and whatever."
Create a vision for what you can contribute to the team and enroll that person in what you're envisioning as being a successful part of the team and bringing value. So That's great. Let's leave it on that note. Listeners, thanks so much for listening to another episode of The Apartment Guys. George, thank you a ton for being with me today. I'm very, very grateful. Please let me know personally how I can ever be a contribution to you. And I'm sure we'll be in touch here in the future. I'll certainly be watching you from the social media world and all your success. Can't wait to see you do that many doors next year. That's going to be incredible.
Thanks, man. Yeah. And anything I can do, you know, I'm here too. Just reach out.
Okay. Awesome. Appreciate that. All right. Well, you all have a great rest of the day and go get them. Take care, everybody.
Thanks for listening to The Apartment Guys with Tate Seymour. Tate and friends are grateful to have you as a loyal listener. If you like what you've heard, please subscribe, rate, review, and share with friends on your Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or any other podcast platform. Also, check out Tate's YouTube channel for videos of many of these episodes and more. Until next time, take massive action steps and rock on.